This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is inching towards 5:06 in the evening, and our first story on the show is about a trend of, well, turning problematic situations into tourist opportunities.
For instance, let's start in Rakhine in Myanmar, which is probably best known as the state from which about 730,000 minority Rohingya Muslims fled an army offensive in 2017. This week, a summit there has pitched Rakhine to investors as a place with plentiful farmland and fishing grounds, tourist-ready beaches, and historic temples.
So all of that is likely to be true, right? But it also wasn't long ago at all that the only reason it was in the news was for a military campaign that the UN has described as being orchestrated with genocidal intent. And even in December, a separate conflict with rebels has seen aid agencies blocked from reaching many areas within the state. But the government is hoping that this fair is going to turn things around for the region and see some money being invested in a place that is increasingly impoverished.
Meanwhile, here in Malaysia, Putrajaya is planning to launch a counter to the anti-palm oil narrative that's been put out by some markets in the West. And one answer to this has been tourism. Visitors will soon get to visit oil palm estates and factories as part of their holiday itinerary. And Primary Industries Minister Theresa Kok is hoping that this will help the government win the perception war and quash concerns that palm oil is responsible for deforestation and the loss of animal habitats.
So she's reached out to some of Malaysia's key planters, and tourists may soon be able to visit estates belonging to Kuala Lumpur Kepong Berhad in Perak, Genting Plantations Berhad in Borneo, and Sime Darby Plantation Berhad on Carey Island, Selangor. And not just planters are on board, right? Tour guides are also a part of this, with the Malaysian Inbound Tourists Association working with the industry to promote palm oil through hotel design, ecotourism, and, well, answering some tricky tourist questions.
I'm not sure about how I feel about the whole palm oil tourist thing. It just really reminds me of trips I took when I was in primary school.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a school trip. Because
lawatan sambil belajar kind of thing.
Yeah, because even if you are going to a plantation to look at the greenery, you can get the same effect by driving down a highway. So much of our highways are dominated by these plantations that I'm not sure what you're going to get going there aside from education and in some cases, I suppose, information that some people might feel a bit uncomfortable with being kind of pushed at you about how it's so great, no monkeys were hurt. I'm just not sure I see the value in it as an incredible tourist attraction.
And to me, who in their right minds would do this when you can go snorkeling, hiking, or on a food tour elsewhere, you know, for the likes of Penang or Johor, for example?
And we're talking about the oil palm situation, but there's also, you know, what's going on in Myanmar.
Yeah.
And I don't want to deny, a country that has just sort of begun opening up and growing in that sense, the opportunity to get investors, right?
Mm.
Nobody is saying that should not be the case. But I think in a spot that is so ethically mixed up, I suppose, you know, where people might not have straightforward emotions, let's just put it that way, about visiting or investing in Rakhine, the idea of saying, hey, look, come see our temples, come see our beaches, I think for the kinds of travellers that you're going to get, who are likely going to be pretty ethically minded, you know, kind of trying to travel in the lightest way possible in terms of environmental footprint and ethical footprint. I think this is asking for a lot of mental gymnastics of trying to make it feel okay.
And actually, if you just search for Myanmar and then if you add the keywords of tourism or traveling, the search result that you'll see coming out will be with regards to concern of the ethics of going there. You know, could tourism money spent there be funding military operations? But I guess then in general also, the same could be said of countries like Dubai or China. Great cultural historic sites to visit, but also ethically problematic.
Yes, but in those, and I'm not saying it's right, but in countries like China and Dubai, they are in the news for reasons other than, other than ethically problematic situations. But with Rakhine, because it is so closely associated with the Rohingya crisis, I think it's very hard to separate that. So we're going to be speaking after this with author and travel writer Marco Ferrarese. And Ferrarese, rather, and he's going to kind of be giving us an some input into the ethics and the reasoning behind, I suppose, traveling to places like this. But we'd also like to hear from you. What do you think of the government's push to make oil palm plantations tourist sites? Is it going to work? How do you feel about, you know, pushing Rakhine, for that matter, as a tourist location? Let us know. You can call 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be getting to that right after this. BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It's the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and our first story today is about tourist spots that perhaps have other reasons for becoming tourist spots other than natural beauty, namely Rakhine in Myanmar, which is kind of being pushed out right now as an investment opportunity and a tourism potential new spot for tourism in Myanmar. And here in Malaysia, Putrajaya is planning to introduce travels to oil palm plantations as a way to kind of counter the anti-palm oil narrative that has been put out. So we wanted to talk about, you know, unusual spots perhaps that have been converted for purposes of tourism. We have on the line author and travel writer Marco Ferrarese. He has written extensively on travel matters and currently focuses on Malaysia and Southeast Asia. Marco, thanks for joining us. What are some of the unusual tourist spots that you've encountered?
One of the most commercial ones would probably be the Killing Fields in Cambodia, where actually people go to see the places where most of the people were buried, actually. And I mean, yeah, the people that were killed during the Khmer Rouge genocide. There is also the Phnom Penh is a school actually called the Tuol Sleng Genocide Museum, where actually in this school, the regime were actually killing and torturing a lot of people. And when you go to this school, you will see actually the beds where they were tied, the chains that were used, and a lot of pictures of all the people that were killed there, actually. And these are two very, they're quite pop icons in Cambodia because everyone goes there. Some other places could be Chernobyl, Russia. Yeah, I mean, more or less, these are the main ones that actually I remember at the moment.
So you mentioned that these places can be quite popular. What really attracts people to, I guess, these spots?
Well, people go there because these places are taught as parts of history, essentially. And these days, you also pay quite a lot of money to go and see them because, example, to go to these museums in Phnom Penh, you pay between $5 and $10, which is quite expensive, just to go see some bones, essentially, in the place that was a slaughterhouse. But even if you think of a place like Auschwitz in Poland, or even going to Krakow, do like a walk, and people will tell you all about the history of World War II and the Jews and stuff. I think it's just all related to the appeal of history, actually, that many times is kind of used in wrong ways, I'd say, because you should not especially ask for money to show this kind of grimy places, in my opinion, because there's an history of death, there's an history of suffering. But we know well that many of these regions of the world are still developing, especially. They want to bring in the tourist dollars. One of the articles that you share, I think, is very disgusting. That actually, Myanmar, I am really much against the government of Myanmar at the moment. I'm very much against Suu Kyi, which I think should definitely be stripped of a Nobel Prize, because since she went out of jail, she has done nothing much there, doing the opposite of what she preach. So for me, Myanmar is a country that has very big problems and has shown its real face as a very violent and very disgusting society, which is based on racism and the fact that they want to put the stress on this Rakhine state should be something that should be actually kind of addressed by the United Nations. But I mean, this will never happen because, I mean, you know how the world is, no? But just to close the question, what I would like to say is that essentially we are perverse in the sense that we love to see when people suffer. So this is why we go to these places, because it gets us very, very much excited to know that there was blood there. That's why we pay money for it.
Right, and that's the thing, right? Because there are always these questions about ethics when you make decisions about where you want to travel to. And another example is, you know, how some quote-unquote cultural trips promise that you'll be able to experience the daily lives of people living in the area, but then that sometimes ends up being exploitative as well. So what is that line that you shouldn't cross when you decide to visit a place?
Okay, first of all, we have to make a distinction between tourists, because to me, a tourist is someone who only wants to spend his money in a resort and he doesn't know anything about the place where they're going, which is 99% of people these days. If you go to stay with people in, we don't definitely necessarily call them tribes, maybe you can call them some ethnic groups, whatever. You need to make sure that what you're doing is not something that bring them more actually harm than good. Because even when the same people who are in these villages, they want to have the tourists to make some more money. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, because in many of the villages around the world, there are no jobs. So people are forced to move to the cities. They abandon the family, their environments, just to live to make some money. Okay? And if they can stay back kind of use the tourists as some sort of income, this can be great. But on the other hand, this has to be sustainable, because I've seen in many ways this kind of tourism ruining the places. For example, there's a village in Meghalaya in India, in Northeast India, called Maulinong. The people in Maulinong decided that they want to be the most beautiful and the cleanest village in India, actually. So they started to put up dust bins, and they started to keep everything clean, until this went to the BBC. So there was an article on this place on BBC Travel, which kind of sparked a lot of interest for this place. So that when you go now, the place is full of Indian package tourists. They go there on big buses, and the place now full of restaurants. The original homes have been changed into the concrete homes that these people were dreaming of. And you even pay an entrance fee to see a village. There's nothing, okay? And this is touted as a very much ecological thing. And I mean, to me, it's just an horrible way of rebranding yourself into a concrete grave, essentially, because all of the beautiful homes, the bamboo homes, are gone. So the soul of these places is already lost.
Are there any examples at all where such trips are done in a responsible way that benefits the local people as well?
There's not really an NGO or a government that does these things in clean ways, because they only and they always want money. So it's only better when it's the real people in a place that, for example, they get themselves together to do some things that earn money that benefit the community. For example, there's a kampung in Sabah in Telupid, which is halfway between Mount Kinabalu and Sandakan. One place called Kampung Bestaria. There's a cooperazi there called Cobest, which means cooperazi Kampung Bestaria, which essentially has organized some small tours in a nearby rainforest patch, which wasn't accessible before these people decided to bring the tourists in. And this helps in two ways. Way one, the little money that they get goes back into the community, because the guides are all young local kids in this village, so that they can do that and not be forced to go work in KK because there's no work where they are. And the second thing is by going inside of this jungle, it's kind of like they watch it against the poachers and this kind of stuff. So in this case, if people are good enough to actually maintain the level of effort into a very sustainable way, that's quite great. But in this world of the travel and stuff, I mean, it's always difficult to find genuine organizations that don't just want to get rich, essentially. So this is the conundrum.
So with all that said, then, what kind of travel do you advocate?
People who really make a difference are those people who eschew all of the conventional narratives of travel and go and see the nooks and crannies that are the places where nobody goes. For example, I recently cycled from Bangsar in Kuala Lumpur to Penang, and I can say that Malaysia is one of the countries that have more places that are completely unspoiled and very, very, very much interesting, because generally the tourists go to Penang, and even though they only go to Chulia State and Munti State, then they go Cameron Island, maybe Ipoh, KL, Melaka, and Singapore. There's a complete huge part of the country that is all like the interior side, places like Kelantan, South, Guamusang area, Kampung Pulai, places like Lengong, many places that have incredible things to see, very, very, very nice people who are not still very much spoiled by this this desire of getting money, because thank God that they are still like middle class, more or less. But if you go to places like India, where people have not really much income and they struggle, whenever there's a possibility to bring the people in, and especially the young people that try to become entrepreneurs and bring in the backpackers, which these days are nothing else than spoiled middle-class white people who want to have a very nice, comfortable bed and very fast Wi-Fi everywhere they go. Now, everyone wants to travel, to take pictures of themselves, to put on Instagram, and so people don't go to places that are worth discovering, because the only thing that they do is they get on Google and they digit what to do in this place in 2 days, and they exactly follow what is written there. Nobody wants to have an adventure anymore. So this is the problem of travel, and this is why these places that maybe are controversial, they can be marketed easily, because people like this kind of controversial stuff. People like to go to places that they can take a selfie and put it on Facebook or Instagram. So this is the big problem of travel these days, in my opinion. And it cannot be cured, because as much as the tourists want to go to these places, the locals who have eaten shit for so many years, now they want to kind of get money from their situation, and how can we blame them?
Marco, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us. That was author and travel writer Marco Ferrarese weighing in basically on, well, two things, two separate stories. One about how in Rakhine State, they're trying to kind of position themselves as a tourist location. And here in Malaysia, we are pushing oil palm plantation visits as a way to kind of counter the narrative that we're seeing in the West of oil palm perhaps being involved with issues of deforestation, loss of animal habitat, just, you know, all the bad news that's been coming out recently. You can send your thoughts to us. 018-789-8899 is the number to WhatsApp. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, and you can also call 7733-2900. We've had some messages. We will get to them after the news. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
It's just coming up to 6:06 in the evening. And before we go to our first story of the hour, we've been asking you what you think about Theresa Cox's proposal to turn oil palm plantations into a tourist spot in order to kind of change the narrative that we've been seeing, particularly from the Western market. So do you think it will work? Let us know. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. First up, we have Samirul Arif calling about palm oil. Hi, what are your thoughts?
Hello. Good afternoon. I about this, I think it's about the problem of our palm oil, I mean, getting a bad name in Europe and so on and so forth. But I think this is how they came to that conclusion. Most probably, they did scientific study and mathematical modeling. And maybe from that study, they found palm oil to be devastating to the environment and so on and so forth. There are a few mathematical techniques and simulations, and so therefore, I think the way to counter this is to do the same. We should do our mathematical modeling, especially to show that it's not as bad as it's meant, as it made out to be, and scientific studies and so on. And I think that carries more weight. That's my personal view,
Samirul, yeah, if I could just contest that a little bit. I think part of the reason why there's a little bit of a marketing spin on this is because the kerfuffle or the uproar happened partly because of a very emotive ad, right, that was placed in Icelandic supermarkets or by an Icelandic supermarket chain, I believe, that really kind of began this conversation about it being so harmful and really made it more widespread. So I suppose the attempt here is to respond in an equally marketing-friendly way.
Okay, so now we're using emotions to counter. Is it the one about orangutan or something like that?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, okay, so you're using emotions. But I was just trying to explain the cognitive part. I think they did some serious scientific studies and some. But you can always contest their studies on environment and so on and so forth. And I think last time people like Professor Augustine Ong, he contested the scientific aspects, the biochemical aspects. So there are many aspects, biochemical, environment, and so on and so forth. And that's, you want to argue emotions? Probably, yeah. Okay, now I was driving and I was listening, so I was wondering what's going on.
No, I mean, that's a really interesting point you raised. I just think for a lot of people, maybe academic stuff might not be of interest, but, you know, marketing-friendly speak, sometimes that appeals to a wider audience.
All right, so it's emotive now, okay.
It seems to be, yeah. But thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, thank you, sure.
That was an interesting perspective, but I do think that when it comes to palm oil, a lot of the conversations have become very much more around. It is very emotive. When you look at orangutans losing their home, I think sometimes that image in and of itself can be hard to counter.
Yeah, and I think that's what we are trying to win, because I'm not sure how we can actually succeed unless we go for something just as emotive, something that punches you right in the emotional gut. But I'm not sure we don't have an orangutan here that we can, I guess, promote.
Z says, yes to oil palm plantation tourism. Not only will it counter the bad palm oil narrative, it will give Thailand and Singapore tourism a run for their money. And we can train our marketing skills. If Singapore can market any small thing they have, including, by the way, Malaysian Yisang, why not us? Already, we have a bad name from Islamophobia. Many uninformed Westerners have asked me on the internet whether alcohol, dogs, pork and tank tops are allowed in the country. And meanwhile, the Singapore media exaggerates crime and the diplomatic spat in Malaysia to discourage Singaporeans from shopping in JB. So it is true that, I suppose, while we have so many positive qualities that make us truly kind of really beautiful to visit, we also have misunderstandings and nonsense like this fighting against that. So in that vein, yes, totally. A new element to enter into the tourism mix, especially if it involves nature and, you know, kind of seeing things that you might not see otherwise. Yes, in that sense, it makes perfect sense.
And I guess you also have to give credit to Theresa Cox for, I guess, trying innovative ways in countering the narrative that's come up against palm oil. And our next message is from Vicky, who says that take tourists to a cornfield and an oil palm estate to compare how much cooler, shadier and damper oil palm estates are. but do give out mosquito repellents.
And meanwhile, Aris says, when it comes to making palm oil plantation a tourist destination, I don't see it as a problem. It does sound like a school field trip, but there are other plantations that have turned into tourist destinations. Take, for example, the tea plantation in Cameron Highlands, pineapple plantations in Johor, even the durian homestay experience. I must admit that the overall idea sounds iffy, but some plantations are located in interesting areas. The one in Sabah, Sandakan, if I'm not mistaken, is in the same vicinity as one of the caves and also of the habitat of the proboscis monkey. So it all boils down to the blueprint and who is managing it at the end of the day. So they've gotten the Malaysian Inbound Tourist Association involved in this. So I think especially if it is going to be nearby other attractions, it makes sense for it to be kind of bundled in as a day tour, you know, and maybe that kind of industrial change is what we're looking at instead of having individual tourists going, oh, you know what I want to see? The oil palm plantation.
Yeah, but I wonder how much of that will actually be done, right? Because right now, the ones who are involved are the likes of Kuala Lumpur Kepong, Genting Plantations and Sime Darby Plantations. So I don't know how much they're going to take into account that, or whether it's just going to be like a, you know, oh, have a look at our palm trees and our palm oil trees and have a look at how we process them and create them.
I think even the hope is that even though they are corporations, it might just be that it's the land that is owned by corporations and that includes other attractions within it, right? I agree. It's going to come down to implementation and also of understanding what it is that tourists want to see. Because if you are going to bring people to factories, then perhaps not. As one says, palm oil estates would be excellent for mountain biking. Make them into mountain biking trails. A lot of good suggestions coming in. Keep them coming. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. And that number to call is 7733-2900.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.